Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved him. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel reading appointed for this day is from Matthew, second chapter. We know it as the visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. As I mentioned, this is, to me, Christmas on a Sunday, it's a time for a story. And the story is by Eleanor Roosevelt, the first lady of our country for longer than anyone else. And this was written for the Christmas of 1940. Think of that. The war in Europe was going on, though it really hadn't touched the U.S. yet. And it was an uncertain time. And as I hear this, and I hope you've got your imaginations on because there's some literary license, but as I hear this, I hear it speaking to our day and our age and our world, with some of the names changed a little. So this is simply called Christmas, a story by Eleanor Roosevelt. Christmas Eve 1940 was not like Christmas Eve of the year before. In 1939, her father had come home. Now in 1940, 7-year-old Marta asked her mother to tell her the story over and over again. Mother's fingers were never idle now that she was alone and had to feed and clothe both herself and little Marta, named after her. Still, as she sat and knit long woolen stockings, she talked of the past which would never come again, including Christmas Eve, 1939. The war had already begun in Europe in 1939, but John, little Marta's father, had only been mobilized. He was just guarding the border and was allowed to come home for the holiday. Mother told the story. You were dressed and had finished your breakfast. You took your place in the window, watching for him to come. You finally cried, "Here he is!" You threw open the door and ran down the path. I saw him pick you up in his arms, but he was in such a hurry that he carried you right on in with him and met me as I was running halfway down the path. Marta's mother had been busy making the traditional bank letter and speculoos cookies, but only a few, as none of the family or friends could come to spend Christmas of 39 with them, for no one could spend money to travel in such anxious times. Mother and daughter both felt sorry that war conditions meant that the two grandmothers and the two grandfathers could not come in 1939. For John and Mother Marta had lived near enough to their parents in order to be often able to spend holidays together. Little Marta did not know it, but to her father's parents, it was more than a simple disappointment. John's mother feared the worst where her own boy was concerned. On the bright side, the money that had been saved for the trip would now help to keep food in the pantry, if indeed the winter was going to be as hard as everything indicated. Marta's mother had told her that perhaps St. Nicholas would not bring any presents that year to fill her wooden shoes. But Marta would not believe it. Her first question to her father when he came home had been, "Will St. Nicholas forget us?" "No, little Marta," said Father. "The good saint who loves little children will come tonight if you go to bed like a good girl and go quickly to sleep." That was all Marta needed to hear. She had put her little shoes down by the big fireplace, and her mother took her into the bedroom and tucked her away. On Christmas morning of 39, Marta woke and ran to look for her wooden shoes. "St. Nicholas has been here," she exclaimed. "He's given me many sweets, a doll, and bright red mittens." Then the whole family went skating on the river, and there were many other little girls with their fathers and mothers. Then at last they went home to dinner, and on the table had been a fat chicken and a good soup. And after the meal, Mother said to Marta's father, "John, it is good for us all that we have had to be apart for a while, because we appreciate so much more this chance of being together. There is no time for cross words when you know how few minutes there are left. But you are so busy, John. You do not have time to think about us much in the army, do you?" A curious look came into his eyes as John thought for a moment, with anguish, of what he might have to do someday as part of his duties as a soldier. Then he pulled himself together as he said to himself, "This at least is going to be a happy memory." Then he seized Marta's very blonde pigtails and said, "I can drive you like an old horse. I'll pull this pigtail and you'll turn this way. I'll pull this one and you'll turn the other." Peals of laughter came from Marta. And as dusk fell, Marta's father put on his uniform again, kissed her mother, took Marta in his arms, hugged her tightly, saying, "Take good care of Mutter till I come back." Then he was gone, and the two Martas were alone again. First letters came from John. Then one day, a telegram. Her mother cried and then told little Marta that her father would never come back. But her mother never stopped working, for now there was no one to look after them except God. Marta talked to him sometimes because Mother said he was everyone's father. Little Marta couldn't quite understand how that could be true. There was so much she didn't understand. She did believe, however, that the Christ child in the Virgin's arms and the painting in the church was a real child. And she talked to him. Strange things Marta told the Christ child. She confided in him that she had never liked that uniform which her father went away in, that she liked him best in his everyday clothes. She was never afraid of him or for him then, and he had such a nice, homey smell. She told the Christ child that her mother had no time to play with her anymore. There was no school anymore for her to go to. On the road, she met children who talked a strange language. They made fun of her and said now this country was theirs. She wondered if the Christ child really did know what was happening to little children down here on earth. Sometimes there was nothing to eat in the house. Then both she and her mother went to bed hungry, and she woke in the morning to find her mother gone. At those times, it would be considerably later before her mother returned with something for breakfast. On this Christmas Eve of 1940 now, Margaret took off her wooden shoes and put them down beside the open fire. Sadly, her mother said, "St. Nicholas will not come tonight." And he did not. Then Marta had an idea. She said to her mother, "There is one candle in the cupboard left from last year's feast. May I light it in the house so the light will shine for the Christ child to see his way? Perhaps he will come to us since St. Nicholas forgot us." Marta wanted to see how far the light would shine out into the night, so she slipped into her wooden shoes again, put her shawl over her head, opened the door, and slipped out into the night. She took two or three steps and looked back at the window. And while she stood watching it, she was conscious of a tall figure in a dark cloak standing beside her. She was not exactly afraid of this stranger, for she was a brave little girl. But she felt a sense of chill creeping through her. There was something imposing and rather repellent about this person who simply stood in the gloom watching her. Finally, he spoke, "What are you doing here, little girl?" "I came out to make sure that the Christ child's candle would shine out to guide his footsteps to our house." "You must not believe any such legend. There is no Christ child. That is a story which is told for the weak, a foolish idea claiming strength through love and sacrifice. You must grow up and acknowledge only one superior, he who dominates the rest of the world through fear and strength." This was not very convincing to Marta. Why, she had talked to the Christ child herself. But she'd also been taught to be respectful and listen to her elders, so silence reigned while she wondered who this man was who said such strange and curious things. Was he a bad man? Did he have something to do with her father's going away and not coming back? Things could be taken from people. Marta and her neighbors had been required to give up many of their chickens and cows because the new government wanted them. That had been hard because they loved their animals and had cared for them. It meant also they would have little to eat and much less money. Things could be taken away. But this man was taking away hope. Somehow this man hurt her dream. That was worse than not having St. Nicholas come. It seemed to pull a dark curtain down over the world. All her life she had been told to be polite to her elders and to ask permission to do anything she wished to do. So she said, "I am hoping the Christ child will come. May I go in now? Won't you come into my house?" The man seemed to hesitate, but he wanted to impress upon this girl and upon her mother that foolish legends were not the right preparation for living in a world where he, the power, dominated. So he followed her right in. Marta's mother, who had been sitting by the fire knitting when Martha went out, was still there, yes, but in her arms was a baby around whom a curious light shone. Marta knew that the Christ child had come. She knew in an instant that this was a special gift to help her mother through this hard Christmas. The man in the door supposed he had entered an ordinary room with an ordinary baby in the arms of a woman who didn't matter. Striding in, oblivious to the miracle in front of him, he gestured toward Marta and said, "Madam, you have taught this child a foolish legend. Why is this child burning a candle in the hope that the Christ child will come?" The woman answered in a very low voice, "To those of us who suffer, that is a hope we may cherish. Under your power, there is fear, and you have created a strength before before which people tremble. But on Christmas Eve, strange things happen, and new powers are sometimes born. Martha was not very interested anymore in the tall figure in the cloak. The Christ child was there in her mother's lap. Martha wondered if she went to sleep like a good girl, if there would be a miracle and her father would come home. She quietly made her way to bed. As she said her nightly prayers, she remembered there was a little girl down the lane whose father had also not come home this year. She prayed for that neighbor girl, that she would not be too sad. And then Martha wondered, should she blame the tall man in the dark cloak? Then before her eyes, she suddenly saw a vision of the Christ child. He was smiling and seemed to say that the little girl up the lane did have her father that year. All was well with her. Martha was happy. Fathers are so very nice. And she prayed, "Dear Christ child, I know you will understand that though God is the father of us all, he's very, very far away. And the fathers we have down here are so much closer. Please bring mine back so the tears will not be in my mother's eyes." The murmur of her prayer died away as she fell asleep. A long time, the man of power stood and watched Martha's mother. A strange thought came to him. Would anyone ever turn eyes on him as lovingly as this woman's eyes turned on that baby? He chose a radical gesture. He went down on one knee before her and said, "Madam, I offer you ease and comfort, fine clothing, delicious food. Will you come with me where these things are supplied, but where you must leave behind your faith?" And she said, "Where you are, there is power and hate and fear among people, one of another. Here, there are none of those things, the things you offer, but there is the Christ child. I will stay here with my daughter who could trust the old story and therefore brought with her into this house the Christ child spirit which makes us live forever. You will go out into the night again, the cold night, to die as all must die who are not born again through him at Christmas time." The man turned and went out, and as he opened the door, he seemed to be engulfed in the dark and in the troubled world beyond. The snow was falling, the wind was howling, the sky was gloomy overhead. Greed, personal ambition, and fear, all were strong in the world fed by constant hate. This has happened, of course, many times in the world before, but must it go on happening forever? Suddenly, he turned to look back at the house from which he had come. Still from the window shone the little child's candle. Within, he could see framed the figure of the mother and the baby. Perhaps that was a symbol of the one salvation there was in the world, the heart of faith, the one hope of peace. With a shrug of his shoulders, he turned away to return to the luxury of power. He was able to make people suffer. He was able to make people do his will. But his strength was shaken and will remain shaken forever. The light in the window must be the dream which holds us all until we ultimately win our way back to the things for which John died and for which Martha and her children were still living. This ends the story. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, how human beings make the same muddle of things again and again. There are places in our world now where a little Martha and a mother Martha and dad has gone off to war and maybe isn't coming back. And there are powers that think they can rule by darkness. These can happen in foreign countries. These can happen on city streets. And we pray for your light to break and pierce the darkness. And we pray to have a greater allegiance to these key components of your kingdom, which alone are of ultimate value. Teach us to keep Christmas in our hearts all year round. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.